לא, זה ניתן עכשיו לפור השחדש. Now, in this חיידש, in a month's time, we have four parashas, four special parashas. We have the parasha of Shkolim, Zohar, parasha of Torah, and parasha of Chayish. First, the overview, parasha Shkolim relates to the fact that Mishnah says in the beginning of Shkolim, Be'echad ba'ador mashmim al Shkolim. They began the campaign each year. It was obligatory in Chodesh Nisan to begin bringing Karbonos Tzibur from the Truma Chadosha, from the newly collected funds. So, if you had to start in Nisan using them, so they started on Rosh Chodesh Adar collecting them, and that's the first Mishnah in Shkolim, Be'echad Ba'ador Mashmiyam Al Shkolim. So therefore, in proximity to Rosh Chodesh Adar, either at Rosh Chodesh Adar or just before Rosh Chodesh Adar, we read Parsha Shkolim. We're going to see soon there's another aspect of Parsha Shkolim too. The second Parsha that we read is Parsha Zohar, which obviously is tied into the Melchama with Amalek and Purim. And as the Gemara itself derives from the Pasuk in the Megillah, Nizkarim v'Nasim, that Nizkarim is we recount the obligation to remove Amalek from the world. And then Vina'asim is how actually, what our confrontation with Amalek was. So that is in the last Shabbos prior to Purim. On the last Shabbos prior to Rosh Chodesh, we have Parshas Purim. And that's reflects the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu in that season of the year, just prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, around that era of the, he brought the first Paraduma, you know, Nisan time, so that the Jews should be able to prepare for the Korban Pesach, the Tmeim. And then finally we have Neparshas HaChodesh, which rings in Chodesh Nisan, HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem Rosh Chodoshim. That means that's the beginning, really, of the old Inyan of Pesach, or of the Korban Pesach. So that begins, that's heralded by Achodesh HaZeh Lechem Rosh Chodoshim. So they happen to be four parshias, each one with its own theme. But it's rather strange that in the entire calendar we only have four special Shabboses, and they're all in one series. You figured if there'd be four special Shabboses, you know, they'd be in different seasons in the year. There'd be one this time of the year, that time of the year. Four special parshas, and somehow they all arrived that we do all of them basically Chodesh Adar. So I've always felt that there is an overall theme to the four parshas. The Gemara debates in Daf Yud and Rosh Hashanah that one man Yom says B'tishrei Nivra Olam, B'tishrei Asidin Ligor. The other man Yom in the Gemara says B'nisan Nivra Olam, B'nisan Asidin Ligor. The first Geula took place in Nisan. B'nisan Nigalu Avoseinu, B'nisan Asidin Ligor. And the Gula Asida of Mashiach Tzidkenu will also take place during the Chodesh of Nisan. And that, I believe, is the overarching theme of all the Dalet Parshias. The Dalet Parshias are a longing for Yemes HaMashiach, are a longing for the Gula Asida. That it's not only commemorative that our forefathers brought Shkolim at this time of the year, but it's anticipating the fact that we will bring those Shkolim to Be'ezus Hashem. It's our expression of hope that we be granted that opportunity. One of the obligations of Melech HaMashiach is Mechiyas Amalek, to prosecute the war again of Amalek till its end. So that also has to be in Chodesh Adar. We look forward to celebrating Pesach in the Beit HaMikdash. to bring the korban on Erev Pesach, to eat the korban Pesach. Now, the appropriate way to do that is Lavapor Aduma, Dami Matayros. You could bring a korban Betuma, but that's not the way to do things. Ultimately, we're supposed to bring the korban Betayra. To bring the you have the Tyra of the Paraduma. And then to start the Chodesh HaZelachem, the whole process of the Korban Pesach, and the celebration of the Chag. So it's an anticipation of the Gula Asida that they loaded all of these parshias in the Chodesh Adar. They're all tied together with this time of the year. Now, Parsha Shkolim has another aspect to it.
Is it according to the number of Nisan?
Yes. I don't think it's a matter of agoda. We do not have an absolute tradition. If you look carefully at the tefillahs, in the tefillahs there's an ambivalence. We have the Shana Bava Rishalayim two times a year. I did the Seder and Motzi Yom Kippur. We have messianic themes. It's a Seder. And if you look at the Haftaras of Sukkot from Zechariah, we also do. So we did not render an absolute hachro in the tradition. A little bit Paseach HaShtei HaSifa. Shkolim has another aspect to it. The Gemara says that Haman was defeated. He brought Aseres Allah from Kikar Kesef. He was defeated in his attempt to annihilate the Jewish people because of the Machatz HaShekel that we gave him in Moshe. So the Shkolim has to do with undermining Haman too. Rishalmi, in fact, ties that to the Pa'inyan, the Yonim of Parsha Shkolim to that. That Shkolim has to do with undermining Haman. So one of my Talmidim asked me, what's the connection between the schus of the Machatz HaShekel and the defeat of Haman? Why do they correspond with each other? So the Chayra poshet that what was the chet of Klal Yisrael b'mei Achashverosh is we celebrated at Achashverosh's party. What was Achashverosh's party about? That he felt that they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and they lived to tell the tale. The 70 years had passed and that's it, they got away with it. The Chelim Mekelim Shaina, we took out the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. So Mordechai told Klal Yisrael don't attend. But they did attend. So that itself defamed the Beis HaMikdash. How could a Jew be present at such a celebration? So what was the schus to be mechaper for it? That which Klal Yisrael did to build the Mikdash. The cover, the dignity, the respect that we gave for the Mikdash. That was the kapar. Ultimately, why does the Rabbanu Shalom forgive us for this chet? Because this was not a chet that they did willingly. The people that participated didn't run to participate because they saw this as a place that a Jew belongs. The Shaila was, if the king asks you to come, how could you not come? If you won't come, then you'll antagonize the Melech. You know, we're a subject. How could we not come? Mordechai told them, don't go anywhere. We don't belong there. They didn't listen. And what happened? This Afal Pi came, Haman came. As much as they tried to be assuage the king, it didn't help them. Our forefathers, Haman came. But we were zeicher to defeat Haman. Why? Because our involvement in Sudas Achashverosh was not out of equanimity. It was a pressure decision. A decision feared, fueled by fear and anxiety. So even though it was wrong, but the Rabbi Shalom let us get away with a slap on the wrist. Because it was not a rebellious act. So the Rabbi Shalom slapped us on the wrist. He sent Haman, he made some noise, frightened us. We did tshuva, and we were rid of Haman.
So So it wasn't really based on like taiva, it was more based on lack of a tachan that.
Yeah, there was no taiva involved, it wasn't in deus. This was just a real politic question. If you're living under the dominion of Achashverosh, and he calls a big bash and he tells you to show up, you had the idea, how dare you boycott it? So, since it was...
So the Avon was lack of a tachan, like what were they doing shuva for?
The oven was participating.
We're not listening to the
government. The oven was participating. That was the oven. How did they come to participate? Because they lacked probably tochen in the Rabbeinu Shalom. They did not have the absolute fidelity because of that they should have had to Mordechai. Whatever. All of that led. But the chet itself was, those were the causes of the chet. But the chet was that they participated in the celebration of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. They were present. So that's the Indian of Shkolem. So Shkolem also has to take place before Purim. Because not only because of Echad Ba'adar Mashpiyam Ala Shkolem, but because through the Machtes HaShekel we were Zoicha to defeat Haman. And Lidaiti, that's Pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara has a Shaila, what's Parsha Shkolem? It's Parsha Shkolem. Did it read basically the parsha that we read Rosh Chodesh, it's Korban Ilachne, or we read what we call Parsha Shkolem and Kisisa. So the Pnei Yoshua is astounded. It's a shayla. Yeah, but shayla, what you're supposed to reach out? It's Korban, I'll tell you. That's the problem. You know, the Purim is a long way into Jewish history. So what, they didn't know, all of a sudden they started, did they read such a thing as Parsha Shkolem, but nobody knows what Parsha Shkolem is? What happened? So the Pnei Yoshua struggles. So I think that the answer is Lidaiti. That historically it was as Korban Ilachmi the Yishan, because that's what we learned the Indian have to bring from the Truma Chadosha, from that Parsha. There, the parsha is called Lachme, the parsha of Rosh Chodesh. That's what we learn. That's what we learn the Indian of, and that parsha from Parshas Pinchas, we learn the Indian you have to bring from the Truma Chadosha. But the Shaila was that after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, so which of the two things is primary? That's prime, the theme of Yechad Ba'adom Hashmiyam Al Hashkolem, or the Indian of the Hatzolah from Haman, which came about through the Machzah Shekel of the Migdash. That's the Shayla. And that's what is a Machlaikis in the Gemara. The one Bandi Yoma says that we stick to the tradition the way it was, and the other Bandi Yoma says that since there's no longer actually, it's only a Zecher, it's better to emphasize the defeat of Haman, which is represented by Parshas Kisisa. So that's Lidaiti, that's the Pshat in the Gemara. And a number of issues in the Gemara are resolved if you assume this.
When were the Arba Parshas originally instituted?
I can't answer that question to you. But they were certainly there in the Mishnah. That means they were there before Rav and Shmuel arrived. So Rabbeinu HaKadosh had them in the Mishnah. So what did they think that they were doing? They were telling them of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So what was the problem? What was Klal Yisrael doing until then? But all of a sudden you have a Shiloh. Yeah.
Did I understand right? The Shkolim Machaber for the Chet of...
Shkolim protected them for the Chet that they were from Haman. That means the Chet.
Yeah, but there was no Beis Hamikdash.
The Shkolim given by our forefathers.
Oh, the previous Shkolim.
Shkolim, yes. We had protected us from...
The Rabbi Kinnak for Parshas Zachar, it's like Machar is in Megillah. But Shkolim is just kind of like... You're reading it, just but the whole benefit to us really is the giving of the shkolim, not the reading, right? I mean,
I don't know if the shkolim. I would presume the shkolim was made that was part of the campaign. That you know, Shabbos when you have to start giving shkolim, you read Parsha shkolim. That was the announcement. The campaign is underway.
Kickoff.
At the kickoff, you know. Kickoff event.
Does Shkalim have any effect on us today? I mean, like, is that machaper for anything today?
I don't know, but that we don't know. But we see that, what's the reason? Why do we give the machtes hashekel on Tainus Esther? If Echad Bador Mashmim al Ashkolom, so come Monday morning, is Rosh Chodesh Adar, we should put out the plates and start collecting the machtes hashekel. So why is the minute to give it on Tainus Esther? But I think that's the pshat, because we want it to zecher also to what that with that chus we defeated Haman. So right before Purim, we give it to emphasize the fact that this was a major element in the defeat of Haman, a loyalty to the Mikdash. Now this Shabbos, we have a Haftarah, and it's a difficult Haftarah to understand. But what exactly took place in the Haftarah of Parsha Shkolo? We have the following. Vayichrois, this is from Malachim Beis, Simanirala. Vayichrois, Yehoyodo, was the Koyanis, a bris. He enacted a bris. Ben Hashem, Ben Amelech, Ben Aom, that the nation and the king on one side, and the Rebbeinu Shalom on the other side, Liyal Yisloam, Lashem, that will serve the Rebbeinu Shalom. And then he made a bris, a covenant between the people and the king, that as long as we keep the bris with Hashem, the people will support the king. Because this was the time when the Baal, the worship of the Baal, had swept Klal Yisrael. And it's hard to understand this Sof Medrash. The Medrash is in Parshas Ra'eh. The Medrash said that when Hananya, Mishael, Ba'azariah came out of the Kibshel Ha'ish, so the non-Jewish nobility started being revised them. They humiliated them. They said, "What are with you people?" He says, "You have such a powerful God, it could take you out of the Kibshan Aish that the Nebuchadnezzar threw you into. And you were involved in Avodah Zarah? Are you off your minds?" They heaped abuse on them as they kind of came out. "This is your God. What are you doing? What are you playing? You destroyed the first place of Midrash with Avodah Zarah. Did you lose your minds?" And it says the response was, "L'cha Hashem Atzdaka." They were makabal. They said, "The Rebbeinu Shalom is dinas emes, tzidikadin." We can get so confused at times, what's right and what's wrong, that we could act in a way which has zero basis at all. And it can sometimes, vahaya bayam o, become so apparent that there's nothing to it. And if we were so lost and confused. So this was one of those moments in Jewish history by Yehoyada that they turned against the Baal. They came to Beis HaBaal, the Yitzu, and they smashed the Yitzu, the Mizbechaisav, the Slomov. They smashed the Mizbechais, the altars, and its religious signs, Shibru Heitev, Besmatan Kohen HaBaal Horgul of Neha Mizbechais, and the Kohen Godel of the Baal they killed. Vayosam Kohen Bekudas of Beis Hashem, and they sent them back to the Mikdash. Now basically the Mikdash was not a major focal point in the era which preceded Yehoyada HaKohen, because Ataliyahu pushed that everyone should worship the Baal, and she diverted all the funds, that the money that people gave to serve Hashem, she diverted them to the Baal. And it looks like the Mikdash, the Mikdash did not function, and the Meforshim, I believe the Radak is Medayek, in the Pesukim Adirai Ayomim, it says in this era they brought the Korban Tumid regularly. It says implicit in that statement in Adirai Ayomim is in the era preceding Yehoyada HaKohen that the Korban Tumid was not brought regularly. It lapsed. And this is the why now, why Yosem HaKohen B'Kudas on Beis Hashem, he had to reestablish the order of the Beis Hashem. Now what happened is this sets the stage for what's coming to go next. Is Yehoyosh becomes the king, and he is under the influence of Yehoyada HaKoyen, and he does what's right. But Chazal say, Kol Yomo Basher HaRohu Yehoyada HaKoyen. HaRohu means that while he was under the tutelage of Yehoyada, he acted appropriately. When Yehoyada died, Yehoyosh lost it. And the Malbim explains how did this come about. Because Yehoyada did not give him insight and give him a depth of understanding of why he has to do what he does. He gave him, told him to do this, yeah, do this, yeah, do this, yeah, do this. Listen, you know, okay, the Rebbe said he ran to do it, but he had no depth of understanding of what he was doing. And Ramayla, when Yehoyada wasn't there, it was his commitment to it was superficial. Whereas if he'd taught him the depth of everything, all the psukim that he gave him, then Yehoyosh himself would have come to a service of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam of his own volition. But that didn't take place. That's Asher HaRo Yehoyada HaKoyen. And Yehoyosh came and he saw a very difficult situation, that the Beis HaMikdash had been defiled by Ataliyo. Parts of his base of Elohim began kol kotche base Hashem osu lava olam. Basically, they smashed the base of Mikdash to some extent, and they diverted all the funds that came for the Mikdash. They diverted them to the service of the Baal. So when Yehoyosh became the king, and under the influence of Yehoyada, so we saw. This is only about 125 years since the Beis HaMikdash was built. So a building of that stature is not going down in 125 years to a state. But since they smashed it and they didn't take care of it at all, so the place was a shambles. So here we have, so he collected the money to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, or to renovate the Beis HaMikdash. Ho kesef ha-chadoshim asher yuva Beis Hashem kesef oiver. So we said there's a few different types of donations that people will give. Money that they're dedicating to the Beis HaMikdash and the Arochen. Kol kesef asher yala alish lahavi Beis Hashem, and any donation that he gives. So we established a system, and that's really what's confusing in this Haftarah. I've read the Haftarah many times, and I spent today a lot of time going through this Haftarah again, trying to understand what the Novi is saying. So first he said, the first thing he says, Yikhu lahem akoyanim, all the money that's brought, ish meis makaro, everyone should take donations from the people that he's associated with. V'hem yichasku asbeda gabayis, and then the koyanim will take that money, and they will renovate the mikdash, chola yosha yomtze shambodik, whatever needs to be fixed. Then v'hi b'shnas esrim b'sholoi shono l'melech Yehoyosh. He ruled for 40 years. In his 23rd year, he came to the Mikdash and he didn't like what he saw. Lo chisko akoyanim is better gabayas. You know, the place is not renovated. So what's happening? You know. So vayikra melech Yehoyosh lo yodo akoyanim vel akoyanim. So he calls the Kohen Gadol. He says, what's happening here? He says, Mikdash is not looking appropriately. Why don't you fix the bit now? The Pasuk says, don't take money, but it should be given to the Beit HaKavayis. So what happened? What was the first system and what was the second system? That's what confused me. What was supposed to take place? Didn't he tell them at the beginning? So what happened at the beginning when they collected the funds? So, and what did he change now? So the simple pshat seems to say that all the money that came belonged to the Kohanim, and they had to take money from this, from that, and to fix the Beit HaKavayis, and the rest remained with them. That's what seems, the simple pshat. I don't know, Farshim don't learn that way, but that seems to be the simplest pshat. And then Yehoyash saw the system wasn't working. So he came along and he told them now that don't take money at all. We'll change the deal altogether. Don't take the money. That's it. You won't get the money and we'll fix the Beis HaMikdash and that's it. So in other words, that was perhaps a schar that they got for our oversight. That's the way you would learn simply. But the Mefarshim don't learn like that. The Mefarshim learn the way the Radak learns. And I don't see anyone that clearly learned differently. The problem was that Yehoyash thought that they might have embezzled money. And that's why they didn't fix the place up. Because, in other words, in the system were they supposed to take the money. The question only is, who was in charge of the accounts? So initially he put the Kohanim in charge of the accounts and they carried out the fixing of the Beis HaMikdash. Then he came and the place looked seedy. So he said, what's happening? So he was choshed them that they put the head in the till. So he made a new system. And the new system is that the Kohanim are not in charge of the accounts. Any money that comes has to be immediately given to a treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, and he's in charge of the accounts and he will hire the workers and pay them. So this is what he changed between the first and the second, and between the first and the second Mahalach of the Migdash. Now, all of this could be explained, but he says the following. He says, they did not audit the people that were in charge of distributing the money to the Yosei Amlocha. They did a job which demanded trust of them. And if we don't have, I guess, the trust in these people, then we shouldn't put them there in the first place. If we give a person a position of trust, then decide that he's worthy of the trust. And then don't go checking him afterwards, you know, act in a fashion that he's above board. So that could be that this was the problem.
So he was only choshed then because it was an indication.
Yeah.
The point is he used the money, he wasn't choshed then before.
So the Rabbats, so the Rabbats, what?
The renovation wasn't successful.
Right, so it could, part of some of them say the reason is they didn't raise enough money and they were waiting to raise the full amount before they really undertook major renovations of the Mikdash, and it slept. Now he says the Ralbag adds to this, that why don't you order them? You know, in private life you better order it, but people don't usually steal from Hegdish. Not usually. So Mamela, Hegdish doesn't have a necessity to do an audit. But in general, it seems, I think if I recall correctly, in the Gemara Baba Basra also applied this to Gaboid's doctrine too, that we don't, you know, audit them. In other words, we have to take people whose integrity is such that there's no need to audit them.
No, nonetheless, you need to have more, you have to have more than one.
And Ochanami. So that's part of the
integrity. That's the check.
So that's the check, yeah.
So even though we trust them, but we don't trust them that much.
Well, it's a question, I'm not sure if it's a question we don't trust them. There are two things. There's V'yisim L'kiyam Ay Hashem or Yisrael. So I'm not sure it's because of the Yisim L'kiyam Ay Hashem or the Yisim L'kiyam Yisrael. In other words, the problem with having sole responsibility without any check is that you leave yourself open to all to people's accusations. So Mameila, you're better off if you don't do that. If you act in a fashion which there are others involved, so that leaves less room, you know, for less room for people to make accusations in the first place. So here we have, this is the Parsha Shkolim. So we read in the Parsha Shkolim that are really of the different aspects. In other words, they renew the Karbonos. So it comes out. According to what we're reading, Divrei Hayom, they renewed the Karbonos, and they also renewed the renovation of the Mikdash, the money that was given for the Bedek Habayis. So this is, in other words, this was the tachlis of money which was brought to the Beis HaMikdash. So this we read on this particular Shabbos.
Wasn't the Shkolim, I mean, even from the Midbar? Didn't only have to do with the.
Yeah, but the question is, in the Midbar, the Midbar, they had to build the Beis HaMikdash. So, but what remained clearly is you had to give a machzis a shekel every year. But he had not only he dedicated funds of the money arriving in the Beis HaMikdash, he made sure that money was dedicated to renovate the Beis HaMikdash. It recalls the fact there's a kasha that Mefarshim have. And why is it that it says, what do you give a machtis a shekel? Why don't you give a shekel? Can't give a shekel for the Beis HaMikdash to give a dollar. It's only a half a dollar give. What's up? So I heard once that Rav Bik Zatzal said that the earlier ones, all people that talk about it also, this Shiloh. But what he said is exactly this point. He said, for the capital campaign, everyone's willing to sign up. He said, for the upkeep, he says, nobody's home. They don't want to know from you. So what did we do when we gave him Machta Shekel? So Machta Shekel, we just said, building the building is only half the task. There's another half of this task. And that's to maintain the building after you build it. So that's why it's a machtis a shekel. No. So here, Yehoyash really dealt with both. He, in other words, he dealt with the karbonis, but he dealt with the fact, the upkeep problem of the Beis HaMikdash. And he put special emphasis into reorganizing the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash to restore it to a state which was appropriate.
They gave 3 times a year? Even in Midbar? Three
machzis a shekel. That drive, they gave 3 machzis a shekels, yeah. But every year they gave only 1 machzis a shekel normally. But the Mefarshim say that they did a number of things. First of all, they dedicated certain funds which came to make sure that they went for the Benek HaBayis. Then he asked the following, that during the previous years, either money wasn't collected or it was diverted to the Baal. So he said, in effect, you weren't yet to the mitzvah. So he called upon the people to donate the money in lieu of the money of the past years, which hadn't gone to the Beis HaMikdash, but this also went to the Benek HaBayis. So in other words, he had not only the problem of running the Beis HaMikdash, the operating expenses, but the Beis HaMikdash was in disrepair. So what he did was he augmented the fundraising for the Benek HaBayis, for the repairs. And one of the ways was that the people should make up for the money of the last number of years where the money was diverted, so they weren't yet to the mitzvah any year. So this a little bit is the inyan, Rabbi Yisrael, the inyan of the Parsha Shkolim that we're going to read now. So it has, as I said, double-edged. It has to do with the Karbonus HaMikdash and the building of the Mikdash, and it has also to do with the story of Yehoyash, of how after when Yehoyada asserted himself, they began to repair the Beis HaMikdash. So Shkolim then is a tie-in really to the whole inyan of the Mikdash, all the aspects of the Mikdash. The Binyan HaMikdash, the upkeep of the Mikdash, the Karbonus of the Mikdash, and all of this has to do with the Schus by which we defeated Haman. So this is the inyan of the Indian of the Parsha Shkolim. That's Daf Torah.
The regular yearly Machzis HaShekel was not used for Benek HaBayis, right?
No, the regular year was part of the Korbanos Tzibur. So that had to go for the Korbanos Tzibur. He had to renew, as it says, the Mefarshim of Hedayek from Divrei Hayomim, he had to renew the Korbanos Tzibur. So we needed the income flow for the operation of the Beis HaMikdash. But he also had to do something to renovate the place. So that's what he did. He collected money from previous years. He set aside certain income streams. And then he saw that the Kayanim were winding up in a situation, or he himself suspected the Kayanim. And consequently, he reorganized it. That there was a treasurer, and the money went straight to the treasurer, and not to the Kayanim. That is Parsha Shkolim. Parsha Zohar. I'm going to begin to look at Parsha Zohar. Zohar Aisha Shal Osulacha Amalek Bederach Mitzayis Kamim Mitzorit. So what was the Avlo of Amalek? So all of us will say the Avlo of Amalek, they were the first ones that attacked Klal Yisrael after Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's true. But it's very interesting. The Torah writes, V'yizanev b'cho kol anecha sholim acharecha. They attacked stragglers. Now, who are these stragglers exactly? Who were the stragglers? Why were they stragglers? Now, the Chazal tell us that we were surrounded by the Adonai Yaakovit. So no harm could come to us. So how were they able to attack Klal Yisrael altogether? How did they pierce the Adonai Yaakovit? So Rashi says that what happened was, who were these Nechshon? That they were the ones that pulled on Onan, the Onan threw them out. There were people that were spiritually unworthy of the protection of the Onan. So the Onan pushed them out. They couldn't stay in the Onan. Now that they weren't in the Onan, so Amalek came and attacked them. That's Rizanei B'chol Kol Anecha Sholom Acharecha. So now we gain a new insight into what's expressed, by Parsha Zohar. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, I have an undying enmity for Amalek. Why? Because they attacked the stragglers and clients. And who were those stragglers? They were not the righteous people. They were the sinful people. And those are the ones that Amalek was able to attack. And what does the Rebbeinu Shel Olam say? Have an undying enmity for Amalek because of that. I will never forgive them. The Ava that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has for Klal Yisrael is not only for the tzaddikim, for the ones that are go off the derech, the Ava the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has for them is endless. And therefore the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, the righteous Jews they couldn't touch. They had no access to the righteous Jews. Who could they bother? The sinful people. But they're the sinful people of Klal Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, he started in with my children. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is unforgiving. So, Parsha Zohar, on one hand, talks about the evil of Amalek. But on the other hand, it expresses the avil that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has for Klal Yisrael. That whoever should dare to start up with anyone in Klal Yisrael invokes the Charon Af of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So this, I believe, is another aspect of the Parsha Zohar, because one major theme of Purim, as we know, is Avos Yisrael. It's one of the major themes of Purim, that it's expressed in the Mishloach Monos, it's expressed in the Matanos Lavyeinim, is the tremendous Avos Yisrael. The Chassidish Sforim, they say that what was our downfall? Because we were Mefuzer or Mefeir Adin Am, we were divided. And what was the answer? That we drew together. So, Parsha Zohar then is a celebration of the chashivas, the significance that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gives to every single Yid. Not only the holy Jew, not only the Moshe Rabbeinu and the Aaron, but the one that's furthest from Moshe and Aaron, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam loves him to such a degree that any Rosha that assaults him has the enmity of HaKadosh Baruch.
Is that even Bisman Hazah?
Yes, it's even Bisman Hazah. It's even
a friar Yid?
Yes. Yes. Even a friar Yid, yes. The Shach Paskins, it's in Alochus, the first siman, I think, in Hilchos Kriya, I think it is. Shach Paskins, that a person that's killed because he's a Yid, even if he was a Rosha and he did no tshuva, is Yesh no chelik le'olam haba. If we're sinful, the Rabbeinu Shalom may punish us. But the Rabbeinu Shalom does so, as it were, with a heavy heart. The Rabbeinu Shalom would much prefer that we come back to serve him. That's what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants. I think we'll hold it at this point, Rabbis.
Everyone's bun. There's a big discussion among them. About the Makarim on college campus. He's not from. He's also not an Orthodox. He's off there, but not an Orthodox. The famous is slippery slope. Like, you're telling, you know, even if you're not cohort in high school, but you're not going, you know, let's say, bars or whatever, $20,000 that someone spent in elementary school and high school is not going down the drain. So, I'm just curious what the Rebbe would say about, like, you know, where to focus or.
Focus where you think you can do the most good. That's where you should focus. That's it. It has nothing to do with background and anything. Wherever you think that you can most succeed, that's what you focus on.
So if you feel I have more rush on this group than that group, whatever, I'm going to be most effective.
So that's what you should
do. You can't help everyone.
That's